So, today I wrote on my blog that two of my favorite movies are Amadeus and As Good As It Gets. And I thought it was interesting pairing. And just randomly, I saw clips from Amadeus and for As Good As It Gets on YouTube. And I was reminded how much I loved these movies. Amadeus, because of the contrast between Mozart and Salieri, that Mozart was this innocent genius lover of life, but constantly running into brick walls set up by people who have no brilliance and admit to it, actually. Hold on a sec. I don't know what this is. Hello? Hello. Was anyone there? Hello? Anyone there? Well, let's go ahead and continue this recording. That was the phone rang, and it was one of those things where nobody was at the other end. And it looked like a number, I'll check this out later, but it looked like a number. The reason I answered is it looked like a number from a health insurance company. And yeah, you always kind of want to pick those up because it's ridiculous that they communicate with you that way because it's so hit or miss. But they do. And the fact is sometimes there's information that you need, so you have to answer. Anyway, so Amadeus and As Good As It Gets. So, yes, Amadeus is the face-off between innocent, beauty, you might say God even. And Salieri, who's played by F. Murray Abraham, is such an incredible actor. And he does frame it as him versus God. He doesn't make it him versus Mozart. It's him versus God. So you think it's fair to assume that from the standpoint of the story that Mozart is God. His talent certainly came from God and or however, whatever God is, you know. And there was old Salieri who was, the way he put it was he was cursed. Because he had no such talent himself, none. I mean, he was completely talentless. But he was cursed with the ability to understand the brilliance of Mozart. I mean, maybe a lot of the other people, the supporting cast, maybe they were too numb to appreciate the brilliance of Mozart. But good old Salieri was totally able to appreciate it, and jealous, and spiteful, and angry, and the devil. And F. Murray Abraham, for his brilliance as an actor, actually does kind of look like the devil. So there's that. And it's very judgmental, very black and white, very easy to parse, good and evil. But As Good As It Gets, I think it really depends on who you are as to what you see. And I know this because I've discussed this over the years with many people. It is absolutely one of my favorite movies because Jack Nicholson. And because Jack Nicholson plays a character which is such an ink blot, such a Rorschach test that, you know, it's amazing to me that people don't see the subtlety in the character. You know, you ask most people, in fact, they say, well, you know, Jack Nicholson's just awful, right? I mean, why? Because a lot of the characters react to him that way, I think. But key point in terms of how the whole story's set up is that, okay, so you think Jack Nicholson is a miscreant, awful, whatever, you know, not the devil. Does anybody think he's the devil? I don't think so. I just think they think he is men then they don't like men. Then he's a perfect example of that. But they love the dog. Everybody, of course, you ask them. I mean, you don't even have to ask them. Do you love the dog? Oh, my God. And they show in the story, whenever the dog shows up, they're all, you know, completely losing it over how cute the fucking dog is. But the dog loves Jack Nicholson. And there's this one incredible fucking scene where, you know, what Jack Nicholson is, he's a very flawed human being. I mean, the character he plays, probably him too. But he is, that's the thing. He is very flawed, superstitious, incredibly bad manners, very unaware that there are other human beings in the world. And so there's this scene where he's walking down the street in Manhattan and he won't step on any cracks. And you saw this earlier in the show, in the story, right? But he's walking with the dog and the dog isn't doing it either. The dog won't step on the cracks either. In other words, what they're saying is look at the packaging and look at how you get fooled by the packaging, because the dog is exactly what Jack Nicholson is and they love each other. They absolutely love each other. And the dog loves Jack Nicholson, even though Jack Nicholson threw him down the garbage shaft. I'm sorry, it's a spoiler, but it really is an amazing thing. The dog doesn't hold it against him. Maybe the dog even understands. You know, I mean, maybe it wasn't such a bad experience for the dog either, for that matter. You know, whatever it was, there's this really amazing relationship between the dog and Jack Nicholson. And Jack Nicholson is struggling through the whole thing because he loves Helen Hunt. And it doesn't really come out in the story until near the end that he absolutely adores her. And it's not just a casual thing. It's like, he says that it's his secret, that he's the only one who can see how wonderful she is. And then there's this incredible, that this is the incredible scene, right? This is where it all comes together. And Helen Hunt just screams in a very Helen Hunt way, is, why can't I just have a boyfriend who's not crazy? And there's two characters reacting to this. One, Jack Nicholson, who's down the steps from her, and he's mouthing the word, boyfriend? And then behind the door is Helen Hunt's mother, who is watching this. She gets it. She gets that, and because she says the truth, she says, I'm choking up, I'm sorry. That's why there's a big pause. She says, we all want that, dear. It doesn't exist. And it's true. It's true in every way that in our relationships, especially this relationship, the woman and the man. The woman is looking for perfection. I guess the man kind of is too, right? But one has to accept that you're getting nothing remotely like perfection. You're getting lunacy. Because when people really expose themselves, become vulnerable and intimate, well, what you're left with is lunacy, because the lives we live only work if you don't immerse yourself in bothering to try to understand life, because you can't. You don't get the big picture out of life. There is no answer to that question. That if there is an answer, it's not available to us. You just have to go on faith that you're doing what you should be doing, and the things you want are the things that you should want. And within that, you just go and be crazy, because that's what it is. And then it depends. Then the story, how you see it, very much depends on what gender you are and whether you're gay or straight or black or white or, I mean, or a dog or whatever, and all different character types mixed in amongst those. It's an incredible group of people. And they all have their own points of view. And I'm sure that not every man looks at that story the same way as I do, but there's this one moment when Helen Hunt is picking on him mercilessly in a restaurant. And he goes, I forget exactly what he says. I think it's exhausting. This is so exhausting. And she doesn't hear it. But I heard it. Because that's exactly how I felt. I said, just ease up on him a little bit. Because by that point, we could sort of see, why is he here? And there must be something else going on. So where Amadeus is telling this story, it's so simple. And it's such a beautifully done story. And it's really the same story. Because really, every well-told story is the same story. It's the story about crazy people, about lunacy, about people doing things, trying to come to grips. It's with their really poor understanding of what the fuck is going on. And so I'm not sure why YouTube put those two stories together for me. I'm sure there was nothing to it. Maybe some algorithm decided that I needed to do this explanation, but I don't know. Not worry about it too much, and just there you have it. If you're looking for two movies that will provoke conversation at the very least, to watch with somebody who you have a good friendship or intimate relationship with, those are really two good places to begin. You know, really interesting discussions come from both those movies. Anyway, so thanks for listening. And sorry for the interruption before. My way of doing podcasts is that I very often just leave that crap in there. and whatever. So, okay, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.